I think that is the case. We indeed have a great topic that we're talking about. The Word became flesh. The topic that I have been assigned is Christ the King. In our society today, we don't really, at least in my estimation, we really don't understand the concept of what it means to have a king. In America, we are, you might say, proud of the fact that we are independent. We fought and gained our independence from England hundreds of years ago, a couple of hundred years ago. And so we have this attitude that we don't want to have anybody telling us what to do. For those that have been raised in Texas, we also have that independent attitude. I don't want anybody to tell me what I'm going to do. The problem with that is it has come over into religious matters, and we do not recognize what it means to have a king. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, a text that we all know by heart, the Bible says, Jesus is the speaker, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? There are those in our world today that are completely rejecting Jesus as their king. They show no allegiance to Jesus Christ. They don't want to have any allegiance to Jesus Christ. And they will tell you right up front that Jesus Christ is not their king. Well, they may say that, but we're going to show in just a few moments that whether we accept Jesus as our king or not, he is still our king. There are those also that say that Jesus is their king, and yet when you look at their lives, when you look at the things that they teach, it is obvious that they do not understand what it means for Jesus to be their king. What is frightening to me and what is distressing to me is that we have those in the Lord's church who should recognize that Jesus is their king, and yet in many of their teachings they deny, by the very things that they teach, that Jesus is their king. That goes to the point, what is a king? You know, again, going back to what we talked about just a moment ago, in our society today, we really do not understand the concept of a king. When a king makes a commandment, that is not a suggestion. And when our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, makes a command, friends, that is not a suggestion. We can't just say, well, you know, I don't like what Jesus said about how I'm to worship him, and so even though he's my king, I am going to dictate to him how I'm going to worship him. We cannot do that. And yet we see it happening all the time. Brother David Baker did an outstanding job in talking about those that ignore what Jesus Christ says, and yet they want to pay lip service to Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we want to notice what the Bible says in verse number 21. Matthew 7, verse number 21. We know this by heart. But listen to what Jesus said. Not everyone that saith unto me. Now remember the point. There are those that are paying lip service to Jesus. Well, yes, he's my king, but I'm not going to do what he says. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Listen, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Friends, we need to understand, brethren, we need to understand that when we understand what it means that Jesus is our king, then we will do what our king says. Now, I want to take the time that we have, and I want to go through and develop very quickly four points that are going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is now. Now, listen to me. Jesus Christ is now reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to show that in our lesson this morning. There are some of these topics or these points that have already been well discussed and well established in previous lessons. So I'm not going to spend a great amount of time in proving every one of these points. But we have four points that we want to look at. First of all, we want to see that the Old Testament prophesied and predicted that Jesus would be the King. That's something that the Old Testament repeatedly said. We're also going to notice a very crucial text in establishing this point, and it will be found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Then the third thing that we're going to show is that Jesus is King over His kingdom, but we are going to show that His kingdom is spiritual in nature. And brethren, I want you to, and friends, I want you to understand that has caused many people to misunderstand the kingship of Jesus Christ. That's the fact that they do not recognize that Jesus is King over a spiritual kingdom. And then the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to sum it all up by showing that Jesus Christ is now King of kings and Lord of Lords. And then, if we have time, we want to make some application out of what we've studied. Well, let's go back to that first point. We want to notice that Jesus Christ was predicted in the Old Testament as King. Now, the problem, and we've already alluded to this, and we're going to talk about it in even more detail in just a moment, but the problem is people did not and do not understand the nature of the kingdom of Christ. I want to encourage you to turn with me to the 18th chapter of the book of John. 18th chapter, the book of John. I wish we had time to go through an in-depth study of all of this, but we know that this is during the trials of Christ, right before He is going to be crucified. And He is standing before Caiaphas. Let's go to chapter 18 and verse 28. The book is John. John 18, chapter or verse number 28. It says, "Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your laws. Listen to this. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. We see that they had in their mind that they were going to get Jesus put to death. And they said, wait a minute, Pilate, we don't have that authority. It must be in your hands. Verse 32, the Bible says that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which He spake, signifying what death He should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall and called Jesus and said unto him, now I want you to listen to the question that Pilate asked. This is the very question that we are addressing in our study this morning. Pilate said, art thou the King of the Jews? That's a legitimate question. Jesus, are you King not only of the Jews, but as we will see in a few moments, He is also King of the entire world. So he said, art thou King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, or sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me? Pilate answered in verse 35, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Now in verse 36, we're going to read it now. We'll come back to it later on and talk about it more in depth. But listen to verse 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Keep that in your mind. But notice what Jesus says, or what Pilate says again in verse 37, and then Jesus' response. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus, are you a king? Now listen to the response of our Lord in verse number 37. Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Now listen to this. To this end was I born. Do you remember that the wise men were searching for he that would be born who was king of the Jews? Jesus said, to this end, was I born. He said, and for this cause, what cause? To be a king. This cause came I into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. And of course, we know how Pilate then responded, well, what is truth? And we're not going to read the rest of this, but notice that Jesus claimed that it was his mission to come to this world and be a king. Now, the question is, does the Old Testament predict that? And I want to say right now that the Jews were expecting a king that is vastly different from the king that Jesus is and was. They were looking, and it's already been pointed out in this lectureship very clearly, but the Jews were looking for an earthly ruler. They were looking for someone that we might say was like Saul, the first king of the nation of Israel, a very large man, apparently a very good-looking man. And he had a lot of physical attributes that drew people to him. And apparently, the Jews still had that thought in their mind. That was the kind of king that they were looking for. They were looking for a man that was large in stature. They were looking for a man that would come and lead them as a physical nation and overthrow the Roman government that was at this time oppressing them and bring Israel back to what they called its former glory that it had in the days of David and Solomon. And so that's the kind of king that they were looking for. But in stark contrast to that, that is not the kind of king that Jesus is. And so we're going to see this, that the Jews were expecting the wrong kind of king, but the Old Testament very clearly predicted that Jesus would be king, and it even gives us indication that Jesus would be king over a spiritual kingdom. But let's turn now to Psalm chapter 45, the book of Psalm, the 45th chapter. And we want to notice beginning in verse number 6. So it's Psalm 45, beginning in verse number 6. We're going to again talk about this in a little bit more detail. But listen to what David said in Psalm 45 and verse number 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now I want you to pause there because we are going to see in just a moment that when David is writing, and of course he is writing by the inspiration of God, and he is speaking for God, God said that thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And that's important because it will clarify exactly whom David is writing about. He is not writing about some earthly king. He is talking about God and that God would reign as king. So he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God. Now listen to him. Therefore, God. Now he said, O God, thy throne is forever. But then we get to verse number 7, and he tells us very clearly that God says to him, thy God. So who is he talking about? Obviously, he's talking about Jesus. And we'll see that very clearly in just a moment. So he said, thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Now, brethren, I want you to listen to how the writer of Hebrews explains what David was talking about over in Psalm 45. We're going to notice what the Hebrew writer says that he was talking about. We'll begin our reading in verse number 6, Hebrews 1 and verse number 6. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now listen carefully to verse number 8. But unto the Son he saith. Now do you get that? The writer of Hebrews is telling us God the Father said to God the Son. Now, it's already been well established in this series of lectureship that Jesus is God. And I'm not going to go through and try to elaborate upon that. But very clearly, he says to Jesus the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And so very clearly, we see that Jesus is God and he is also king. But let's notice something else. God made a promise to a man by the name of David. And we're going to look at that promise a little bit more in just a moment. But we want to see right now that David and Solomon, his son, ruled on an earthly kingdom, but or an earthly throne, but that they also ruled, and this is going to be a point that we need to understand, on a heavenly throne. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. And we want to notice what we find in verse number 12. 1 Kings chapter 2. And we find this written in verse number 12. The Bible says, Now therefore, come... No, that's chapter 1, I'm sorry. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 12. It says, Then set Solomon... Now listen. Then set Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We want to see what the Bible says in verse number 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 23. Now remember what we read. Solomon was sitting on the throne of his father David. But now notice 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 23. Then Solomon sat on the throne. Now listen to this. Sat on the throne of the Lord. David's throne is the very same thing as the throne of the Lord. The Bible makes that clear, brethren. There, we would not have to say anything else. Did the Old Testament predict that Jesus would reign on the throne of God? Yes. Did the Old Testament predict that Jesus would reign on the throne of David? Yes. Why? Because they're the very same thing. They're exactly the same thing. Let's turn our attention to this crucial text that is talked about in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And I want to say that Brother Lee Moses did an outstanding job in talking about this. And in his lesson, he was talking about the fact that Jesus is the son of David. But what I want to bear out, what I want to bring out, is that Jesus is king. Now let's notice this. 2 Samuel chapter 7. We'll begin our reading in verse number 12. Remember, as Brother Lee talked about, that David wanted to build a house for God. Now notice what happens. God says, you're not going to build it, but I will allow your son. Let's notice verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy father, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish, listen to this, his kingdom. Now, obviously, there's a twofold application. We know that he was talking about Solomon because Solomon was chosen to build the temple. But we also know that there is a dual application, and this is referring to Jesus Christ and his kingship. Verse 13. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his king forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. I want you to listen to this. If he commit iniquity, You know, there are those that say that Jesus could not sin. But did you hear what God said? If he commit iniquity. The Bible is telling us, as has already been pointed out in the lecture, that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. And Jesus had the capability of sinning. The great news is, he did not. He did not sin. Therefore, he became our perfect sacrifice. But he says, if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Now listen to verse 16. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Listen, thy throne shall be established forever. Now, what is he talking about? Well, we're not in the dark about that. We can turn to Acts chapter 2, and let's do that. Acts chapter 2. We'll begin our reading in verse number 29. Acts 2 and verse 29. We know this is the day that the church of our Lord and Savior was established. We have a record of Peter's sermon recorded for us. Notice what we find beginning in verse 29, Acts 2 and verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. Now listen to him, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. You can almost hear Peter saying, look, you know that David, and he's going to talk about this, but you know that he's not talking about David, but he said David is a prophet. And he said, now look, David is dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us right now. The implication is we can walk out of this temple, and we can go and we can look at the sepulcher of David, and we can see that his bones are still in that sepulcher. But notice verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing, now he didn't think, did he? He knew. And knowing that God had sworn with him an oath that that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh. Now listen, the fruit of his loins according to the flesh. Now listen, he would raise up Christ to sit upon his throne. Now brethren, the Bible is right. The Bible is right in telling us that Jesus Christ is King. And brethren, we need to understand that. We need to preach that. The Bible is right. The Scriptures cannot be broken. Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of David this very hour. So he says that he would raise up Christ to sit upon his throne. Verse 31, he's seeing this before. Now listen, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Now listen, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Verse 33, therefore, now listen, therefore, trying to draw a point. He's saying, I've argued thusly, now listen to the point that I am about to make. Therefore, by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, now listen to him, which you now see and hear. He said this, what is going on right now is exactly what David was talking about. This is exactly what David prophesied. You are seeing it right now. You are hearing it right now. Verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, listen, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Verse 36, listen to his point. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. Do you hear what he's saying, brethren? He's saying we can know assuredly. We are not guessing. It is not a maybe. He said we can know assuredly that God, listen to him, that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. David said, Peter said that David very clearly argued that Jesus would come, and he said that now we can know that Jesus is Lord and Christ. Now I want you to get this. He didn't say he will be Lord and Christ. He said he is Lord and Christ. Of course, we understand that Lord is a term that is used to describe the king. And so he's saying Jesus is now king and he is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah of God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I want to bring this out because it's vitally important. We need to understand that the church and the kingdom are the same thing. Let's notice what happens in Matthew chapter 16. Again, this text has been talked about. But you remember that in verse number 13, Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Who are people saying that I am? Well, they say, well, some say that you are, or thou art, a John the Baptist. You know, there are a lot of similarities between Jesus and John the Baptist. You look at the work of John the Baptist, you look at the message of John the Baptist, and you look at Christ and his message, and you will see that there are many similarities between Jesus and John the Immerser. But friends, Jesus is not John the Baptist. Jesus is the Son of God. So even though there might be similarities, Jesus is not his cousin John the Immerser. So they said, well, some say that you are Elias or Jeremias or one of the prophets. Do you know what these answers all have in common? They're all wrong. You ask people about Jesus, and without them going to the Bible, their answer is going to be wrong, friends. Brother Johnny Ramsey, one time there was a youth gathering, and they had a preacher up preaching. I've been told this story. I wasn't there. I didn't witness it. But this man stood up, and he held up his Bible. Now, this is a gathering of young members of the church. He says, "Well, I don't know much about this book, but I know Jesus." Brother Ramsey couldn't contain himself. He stood up and said, "Young man, tell me one thing you know about Jesus that you didn't learn in that book." Such shenanigans, brethren. It absolutely floors me. Now, I know that y'all don't know my background, but I came out of the Baptist denomination. And I saw all kinds of things in that denomination. What scares me is we're starting to see it right now in the church. Brethren, that ought to make every one of us shake in our proverbial boots, because this is serious business. And we need to stop treating it as if it does not matter. Brethren, Jesus is not John. He's not Elias. He's not Jeremiah. He's not one of the prophets in the sense that they were talking about. Verse number 15. Jesus said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, now listen to what he said, "Thou art the Christ," the anointed one. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, of the living God." Verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Listen to verse 18. "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now I'm going to show in just a moment the church and the kingdom are the same thing. But what are we talking about? We're talking about that God said in the Old Testament that Jesus would be a descendant of David. He would sit on the throne of David, and the throne of David and the throne of the Lord are the very same thing, and the kingdom and the church are the very same thing. And Jesus said, I will, future tense, now he has already built it now, but at the time that he said this, the kingdom had not been built, the church had not been built, and so he says, I will build my church. Now, brethren, friends, church is singular. Jesus did not promise to build a multitude of churches. By the very same token, Jesus did not promise to build a multitude of kingdoms. Did he? No, he didn't. And so we find here, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now listen to verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now Jesus said, I'll build my church and I'll give you the keys. Now if the church and the kingdom are not the same thing, then why in the world is Jesus saying to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, and yet as some are teaching today, that kingdom is still in our future. Is Peter still alive? Is he going to use those keys sometime out in our future? Absolutely not. It's ridiculous to think so. And so very clearly, the church and the kingdom are the same thing. Now, let's turn our attention to what we've already alluded to from John chapter 18 and verse 36. Let's turn back to that. Even though we've already read it, John 18 and verse number 36. And we want to notice that Jesus again is saying that his kingdom is not of this world. Listen to what he said. Verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. Now, is that plain? Can everybody, I would dare say that if we've got any 5-year-old kids in the auditorium this morning, and you were to say that Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, they could grasp that concept. Certainly a 10-year-old could. So why can't we, as 30 and 40 and 50 and 60-year-old, why can't we grasp the kingdom that Jesus said it is not of this world? Brother Robert Taylor made this very pertinent comment. He's talking about the kingdom and the spiritual nature of the kingdom, said being spiritual. Now listen to him. It can never. Now I love the way Brother Taylor writes and the way he speaks. He said, it can never with a little n. Then he said, never with a capital N. And then he said, never with all the letters capitalized. What's your point, Brother Taylor? Being a spiritual kingdom, it can never, never, never be a material kingdom. Listen to what he said. It can never fit the premillennial mold that calls for a materialistic, earthly, pompous and prideful kingdom, premillennialism. Listen, now, brethren, I want you to get this. Friends, I want you to get this. Premillennialism is for the earthly. Amen, Brother Taylor. There's nothing spiritual about premillennialism. There's not. They're looking for the exact same thing that the Jews in the first century were looking for. And they're looking in the wrong place. He said premillennialism is for the earthly. It is not for spiritually minded people. Now, brethren, let's get to the last point. Jesus now reigns, listen, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the throne of David. The New Testament clearly brings that out. At least 3 times we find the very words that we're talking about. Let's turn first to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's notice what we find Paul writing to this young preacher by the name of Timothy. We'll begin 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 13. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. Now listen to this. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. What was that good confession? Art thou the King of the Jews? He said, that is the reason that I was born. That's the reason that I came to this world. He made the great confession. Jesus is King. Now notice this, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable under the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 15, underline it, paint it in red. Listen to what he said, which in his time, not in my time, your time, the premillennialist time, but God will do it when God wants to. He says, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. Well, Paul, I'm sorry, you're wrong. I thought the Roman Catholic Church had a potentate. No, Paul's not wrong, friends. Paul is not wrong. Roman Catholicism is wrong. So he said, he will show who is the blessed and only. Now, I'm not that smart, but I can figure out what only means. And I can understand that as saying that he is the one and only potentate. Jesus is the head of the church, as we've already talked about. Jesus is the one who is King, and Jesus dictates to us. We don't dictate to him. He is the blessed and only potentate. Now listen to this. As if that is not clear enough, Paul continues by saying, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Friends, do you understand that the Bible is telling us Jesus is King of kings? There's no doubt about it. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you dice it, Jesus is King of kings. I want you to look at one more verse, Revelation chapter 19. We don't have time to read it all, but look at verse 16. Well, actually, let's begin in verse 15. We've got to. Listen to what he says. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.